delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hi, Pradnya.
Hello. Good morning, Sheba.
Good morning and so good to see you. Welcome to Soul Brews with Sheba on Coffee and Soul. I'm so delighted to have you with me today.
Thank you. And it's such a pleasure to be here with you. So thank you for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I had to have you in this show. How can I not have Pradnya in this show, right? So definitely. I'm glad we made the time for it now. And I'm really looking forward to our conversation. So thank you for making the time, Pradnya.
Me too.
All right. So you've got your coffee ready?
Yes.
All right. Here's to life, Pradnya.
And yes,
just let's cheer to you and to good health, happiness, and great progress.
Thank you. And here's to friendships and here's to long associations.
Lovely. I drink to that. Absolutely.
Mm.
And it has been a long association and a beautiful association. So I'm so happy that we're doing this together right now. Could I ask you to just hold the cup of coffee in your palms?
Nice and warm. This cold Delhi weather, it's just the perfect.
Yeah. And can you just settle back in?
Yes.
Yeah, lovely. Just relax. If you can just, while you're holding the cup of coffee in your hand, if you don't mind, you can keep your eyes closed. Let the warmth seep in. And what comes to your mind? What do you see? Anything?
Yeah, love, right? Yeah. Comfort, warmth.
Lovely.
Just surrounded by, you know, caring and people you care for and care about, and people who care for you and care about you, and just that, you know, that cold nip in the air, and then just the warmth of that love and care. Yeah.
Lovely. Do you see an image as well? You can open your eyes whenever you'd like to.
Maybe it's funny, but almost every time I think of it, the image that comes is like soft cotton wool,
yeah,
or almost like sitting on a cloud. You know, when I was a kid, my I used to love looking at the clouds.
Yeah.
And my father, who's very analytical and scientist and engineer, would make it into a science lesson.
Right.
So I remember some of the names, I've forgotten most of it, but he would have all these, oh, that's the cumulonimbus, and there is this. And I was like, I wasn't paying attention to that. I would just keep thinking of these soft clouds and what would it be to sort of sit on them. And I think that's sort of the image that comes to mind.
And what is the association with that softness and the soft clouds? What does it do for you?
I think it settles the mind. Also, I think maybe in some ways it sort of says what's important. What's important in life? It's this caring. It's these people around. It's the relationships. It's what you can do for others and what they are doing for you. Right, both ways.
Well, that's beautiful. That's right. Thank you for sharing that with me and my viewers. So, thank you. Yeah. Pradnya, you've had a very interesting journey, right? Life has been interesting for you. And so it would be great for us to hear, take us through your journey. Take me through some of your learnings, how life meandered for you, some of your high moments, some of your not so high moments where you learned perhaps a lot. Would love to hear.
Yeah. Meandered is the right word for it, right? But I think there was... There were two sort of constants, Sheba, that I think came into play every time I made decisions. One was the strong sense of identity that I had with being what I call a scientist practitioner. And that comes from my training as an industrial organizational psychologist. And I think my identity as an IO psychologist and my training to, you know, look at the science of what I do and then bring it into practice. I think that has been one of the anchors. And I'll tell you in a minute how that played out. I think the other anchor has been my parents. And more than that, my commitment or a sense of commitment to them. Although honestly, they are very independent and I'm not so sure that they need it or they necessarily express a desire or a want for it. But it's just been sort of, you know, what's driven me. So where did that come into place? Of course, life meandered, grew up in Mumbai, psychology degree. I always laugh that, you know, in the 80s, armed with a bachelor's in psychology, you had no job, right? Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah.
So since travel was a passion, you might not even know this. I went in, took up a job as a ticketing agent in a travel agency.
That
was
really? No, I didn't know this. Oh, fabulous. What an experience. Wonderful. Yeah. Okay, tell us more. Well,
because, you know, I thought, you know, close to travel, being in a travel agency, cutting tickets for other people. And then I realized that other people were traveling. I was at my desk, right? I was
right.
issuing the tickets for them. Also, somewhere I realized, actually, it's a fun profession. And I met, and there's some really, really nice, fun, interesting people in that. Mm. And I'm sure some of your clients and friends are in that industry. Mm-hmm. It's a great industry to be in. But I realized that I would have needed a little bit more academic challenge, which is why that whole scientist practitioner again.
Sure.
And, you know, so I think it was, you may now call it in hindsight a gap year or whatever. Mm. I wasn't really thinking about it that way. But I used that year to then apply for my PhD in industrial organizational psychology, went off to the US. Then, of course, did my studies, finished my graduation. Somewhere in between, again, while I was pursuing the studies, there was a decision point where I got this really high-flying job with a very well-known US corporate. I would have been in their high-flying HR leadership program, and it's so tempting, especially when you're a poor graduate student trying to meet ends meet, and there comes this, and someone thinks you're, you know, valuable enough. I said yes, and then they waited, and then I said no. So again, I think it came back to that whole, because I could have been a practitioner, which is what, I mean, my chosen field of work is human resources and people development. I could have done that, but I felt that I wouldn't have then pursued the science part of it. I think they understood. So then I stayed on, finished the PhD, and then I got into the profession. So I think that has always anchored it. Mm. Where parents' angle comes is the move back to India. Mm. Of course, both. I mean, India has been exciting and wonderful career-wise as well.
Sure.
There's been so much, you know, opportunity to have done things here. So I can't say that it was just the parents, but part of it was also the fact that could I see myself living so far away? And you know, I'm an only child.
Yes. So the
responsibility, sense of responsibility was a little bit there, especially knowing that my parents will not, out of their own choice, move out of India because they had lived overseas in their youth. And I chosen to come back to India, right? And had chosen to live over here. So there was no question of them moving. So I think that was the other thing that came out as decision. And that played out a couple of times in my life. So I think those have been two sort of guiding principles, if I were to say.
And basis those, you have made a lot of your decisions in your life, right? Is that how you see it? Yeah. Any regrets?
None.
None at all. No. Anything regrets. You could have done differently, Pradnya?
None. Always, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you look back and you say, I could have done this differently. So a couple of jobs, right, or a couple of areas. I think I was very restless when I was younger. I think I could have stayed on longer and just stayed the course. Mm-hmm. Because after I chose to move on, you know, people who are senior or people who knew me would have always said, had come and said, you know, you could have just stayed on a little bit longer. There was still so much more you could have done there. And more importantly, people always said that role needed you a little more.
Yeah, no, I understand. And then it's always there in hindsight.
Whereas I almost felt that, you know, I'm sort of done over here, or what else am I going to do? Mm. Or sometimes, you know, some of the challenges just felt a little too overwhelming. And then it felt, might as well go and do something else. So I think those are a couple of times that has happened. That looking back, I said, you know, I could have just stuck it out. There are always ups and downs. And that learning has served me well now because, you know, Shiba, the most consistent that I've done in my life is commitment to my own business.
So absolutely.
Coming up on 10 years.
Imagine that. 10 years. Pradnya, wow, well done. Wow. Wow, that is amazing.
going to be almost 11 now in 21.
And sticking on with it and growing, for example, your work in Hogan Distributorship and how you have grown the business. It has been remarkable. I've seen it. I've seen the various phases of it. And I see it with a lot of joy to see where you are today with it. It's wonderful, Pradya.
Thank you. And you've been a part of that journey because you were, and I want to recognize that you were part, you were my coach at two critical transition points in that journey. And I think coaching really helps. The first was just transition from being a corporate leader to a business owner. And I remember all those conversations we would have both shift at an identity level. Mm. The reputation shift had happened, but how do you assimilate it at the identity level?
Correct.
And then a few years later, when it came to a different phase of running the business, maybe scaling it differently, right? Mm. Adding on the consulting pieces to the distributorship. Yeah. Again, that was a very critical transition. And you were part of that journey very much, so.
Thank you. And I thoroughly enjoyed that time, the conversations that we had. And thank you for making me a part of it, because it's rarely that you get an opportunity to help grow something with someone and be their thought partner or coach them through that. So it was an absolute joy for me. And I really appreciate the trust you placed in me for those conversations. What else? Tell me some more about your life and your learnings thereof. I see what anchors you.
Yeah.
How did it play out?
How it played out was, again, so my meandering happened because I think I just kept on doing what interested me, right? Mm-hmm. And going back to the Hogans, and you know the Hogan scales, mm-hmm. the two things that have driven me, or the three, is really hedonism, which is finding sort of, you know, enjoyment in life. The other one is affiliation, which is connecting with people. Mm. And then the third is aesthetics, which is, again, self-expression, doing things with quality. So therefore, what doesn't drive? It has never been about, or it has not been so much about the power recognition or the commerce.
Yes. Yes, I know.
And so when you're driven by a different set of drivers, sometimes it does look from the outside to say interesting choices you're making. I'll tell you a learning that I had, though, and anchoring back to the Hogans, because you and I know those scales so well.
Yes, yes.
Is I'm also fairly low on security, right? Mm. So, which is therefore the ability to do things differently.
Right.
But other people in your life pay the price for it sometimes. Mm. Because what I mean by that is, if you're lower a little bit on commerce and security, you know, you're going and making choices driven by what you want to do and the desire and aspiration. And I'm sure, you know, in inner purpose. But once you've chosen to be a householder, then there are other people involved, right? Your spouse with their career choices, your children with a sense of commitment to them. Mm-hmm. And that was my learning. Some of the decisions I made, I mean, I think Raju's been a wonderful and supportive husband.
Mm-hmm.
And if he hears this, I don't know if he will. But
I'm sure he will.
but I'm sure some of these choices that I've made has had some impact for him in terms of where he's chosen to live or what he's chosen to do.
Mm. Yeah, no, I hear you and I understand that. But sometimes we just got to do what we got to do, right? And have to be true to ourselves. And you spent a lot of time in the U.S., right? Yeah. You also worked in the U.S. And I remember I met you, the first time I met you was in Microsoft.
And yes.
We'd come to explore coaching. This was how long ago, Pradya? Maybe.
That was 2005 when I was the director for leadership development. Coaching was its early years.
Yes, exactly.
And while I used to coach some of the senior leaders, I was looking for a coach for some of the new leaders. You know, part of assimilation, actually, the whole transition assimilation coaching.
Exactly. And that's when we had come, me and I think David Lieper, had come to explore this possibility with you. But you were off to the US at that time.
Yeah, I was returning back to the US.
So tell me more about that journey and how it was for you transitioning back and forth. You've done some of that. Yeah,
a couple of times. Mm. I think the move to the back to the US was more just to gain another set of experiences, which is what our corporate VP at Microsoft at the time was this wonderful woman, Tanya Clements.
Mm.
And she said, Pradnya, I have this opportunity. And, you know, you worked in the US at a junior level. You worked in India at senior capacity. You can come here, do a deep, like a deep, you know, there's a broad aspect of careers and there's a deep aspect. So, so there's an opportunity to come and do a little bit of a deep work, which will give you understanding of scale, what it means to scale a program, let's say across 150 countries. So that was the temptation. And also, you know, the family was ready to be back in the United States, you know, and so on. So I think those years in Microsoft were wonderful in terms of learning. Just learning that scale, building some really strong connection. That's how I got in touch with Hogan.
Right. In that role.
Yes. So, you know, serendipitously, life just sort of meandered, but look where it took me. Had I not gone for that role, I don't know if Hogan would have happened, for instance.
Absolutely. And yes, exactly. And to be able to see those connections. And so you were there for a bit. How long did you?
So that time I went, I was there for about 3 years. And again, the decision to move back was very, very personal again. So came down a little bit to parents and a mother's sort of situation, health-wise, a little bit, and so on. And the other part was, I have to share with the viewers over here, I had gotten used to being a working woman with the privileges of India to help. I think, in, you know, it's such a challenge to be running a home, looking after young kids, because my, you know, daughter was just in kindergarten, first grade, and son was still not yet in middle school, and juggling all of that. I found it very difficult, Shiva, you know, managing that. And that's where, again, my sink could have stuck it up. Yeah, had I just pushed it through for another three, four years, I'm sure I could have settled back into that way of living and being. But I didn't. And then I sort of said to Raju, I said, I'm really finding it difficult to do both. And I had friends who had not come to India, and Indians, and they would say, we don't know how you run a home and a business in India. We won't find that easy. Because it's all about, it's all about what are you used to, no?
Correct. Correct. Exactly.
A little bit of that. So I think that drove it. And then there was the opportunity to come back and sort of, you know, which was always a thought I had always had. That at some point I will go back into, I will set up a consulting practice.
And I'm so glad you came back, because look at the way what has happened with Hogan. And look at how far it's gone. And I'm sure Hogan, the principals of Hogan will be delighted that you made this decision to come back.
The truth of it is, you know, and that's where I feel empathy as for, you know, empathy for women leaders. It's a challenge, right? When you're juggling both.
It really is a challenge. It's true. And trying to find a via media or a, like a place of balance is very tough, because this is almost like a 90-10 balance, right? I mean, you don't have a 50-50.
And also because you have a spouse who's in an equally challenging sort of, you know, area of work. So yes, you share responsibilities, but, you know.
Absolutely.
It can get a little...
I'm going to ask you something completely different. What inspires you?
What inspires me is the opportunity to sort of have my learning, my education be applied in service of what I've chosen to be as my field, right? I think that really, really inspires me in the work domain. So the opportunity to apply my learning, the opportunity to continue to learn. I feel a big kick when, so, you know, a lot of our work is done through our HR partners, for instance. So I love it when I feel I've delivered a win to my HR partner. So I think partnership inspires me, right? When their clients in their organization come back and say, great program or well done. So I think I get really a lot of kick out of that. So I think that's what inspires me in the work front. On the home front, what inspires me is just the opportunity to be available for my family, to help enable their own dreams or whatever they want to do. So I'll give you a small instance.
Yeah, lovely. Love to hear it.
Yeah. So for the longest, so my mother is, you know, very scholarly, very well read. When she's now in her 80s, but she always had a passion for travel. Mm. And for the longest time, she was saying, I want to go to Istanbul.
Okay. Okay.
And of course, my dad rolled his eyes and says, suddenly his wife has come out of nowhere thinking she wants to go to Istanbul. So he wasn't that keen on it necessarily.
Yeah. Right.
But so I tried to cajole him. I said, why don't you guys go, or I'll take some time. And then one day I just made a decision. I said, you want to go to Istanbul? Great. Let's book. And we're going to go there. And so then, of course, I said, invited dad. I said, you want to come along? Because we're going to go to Istanbul. And then my mother's sister, I asked my aunt, and she said she'd love to go. And so all I did was, and my cousins were, you know, sort of smiling and said, because I was all excited, I'm going to go to Istanbul. Right. And he says, you know, you're going to Istanbul with like 375 plus year old people, right? I said, yeah, but you know, so that's what we did. We just went and we plonked ourselves for like 10 days. And
that is fabulous. That is fabulous. You know, it's what a thing to do. Well done on that one again, Pradnya. That's inspiring. That's inspiring. Yeah. They must have so loved it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What an amazing thing to do.
They did.
And probably for your mom, it must have been so fulfilling to have you.
She remembers it because, you know, as she's becoming a little more frail, it's becoming... Yeah. A little more difficult for her to travel. And so I think that was like her big, big trip. And it was such a dream. So now I have to get her to pursue other dreams. She wants to go to Greece. So
okay.
I'm going to get her to say, okay, let's find the time to do that. Maybe Athens. So we'll see if I can get her energized to do that. So I think a little bit of that towards the parents, and same with the children, you know, they have their own aspirations, their own dreams. I know I can be a tough mother, but, so, you know, reputation again. I think I'm being a conscientious parent. I'm sure they're thinking I'm a tough mom. But it's all about enabling them. No?
Absolutely. It is. And if you are being a tough mom, they will not hesitate to give you the feedback. So you'll be aware of it.
There's a lot of feedback, right?
Right.
Every day, right? Yeah.
But I'm sure they also know how much you want to enable them and help them fulfill their dreams.
Yeah.
And I think that is the intention is that, isn't it, Padma? That always has been the intention.
Has been, always.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a metaphor for life you have, or an adage you live by? You could have a few, that's all right, but something that, you know, is your go-to thought or dictum in times of... when you are at crossroads or stressed, or
a river, and I'll tell you why. I mean, and maybe it's just a lot of people probably think of life as a river, but you know, it flows, right? But it has a life of its own, and I think in Indian mythology, it's so beautiful because we personify rivers, right? And Brahmaputra, I think, is the only male river. Right?
Correct.
All other are women. Right.
Correct.
So I think it just resonates so much. It flows. It, you know, it nurtures things around it as it flows. It nurtures a whole ecosystem within it as it flows. Mm. And yet it flows, and it, you know, it continues to flow, which is its purpose. So there is a certain purpose, certain drive that drives the river, I guess. And I always think of my life, or if I can be like a river.
That is beautiful. And what you've just said, what I'm picking up from that, and that's really, the purpose of the river is flow.
Yeah.
And it may seem like a contradiction in terms, but it's not. You know, the purpose seems like a analytical kind of a thing, you know, left brain flow doesn't, but when the purpose is the flow, isn't that something?
Yeah, I never thought of that way, but you're right.
Yeah.
This is the flow, right?
Yeah.
The moment it's born, from the time the river is born,
Correct. It
begins to flow.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. That's lovely. That's my my goosebump moment for my the soul brew with you. So thank you for bringing that up. If I was to ask you, Pradnya, I believe each individual, each human being has their own unique stamp. And something that they offer, which nobody else can. I mean, there's nobody else who's a Pradnya Parashar on this planet. What is your unique gift to humankind? What is it? What is the lens you wear?
Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, each one of us needs to take their spot in the sun because each one deserves it. What is your
place for me to be, to, you know, claim the space in the sun for all kinds of, you know, reasons. But it's interesting that you ask me what's my unique stamp. I know this may sound, I think for me, it really is, I love my profession. And I'm going to quote something that, and see if that helps, because I haven't thought of it quite that way, but I think I really love the profession of, you know, the science of people management or the science of organization. So, you know, I first moved back to India in the late 90s, and I've had some wonderful mentors and me to, you know, even consider, you know, moving back to India or even just pursuing my career. So I had this wonderful mentor who used to run a small consulting firm in New York where I used to work with. And one of the things he said, you know, when I was moving back to the United, to India in the 90s, he says, you're a very good industrial organizational psychologist. And to the extent that you can continue to preserve that base of knowledge or practice, try and doing that. And so he gave me a few suggestions, like simple things, like, you know, come back a year, attend a professional conference, keep your network going, do some research, do some reading. So I wonder whether that is my unique gift, which is to blend the science and the practice of my profession. You
know? Yes, sure. And what would you say if this was, if you were to say something to the younger ones, to people who are just starting out, to the, how would you incorporate what your uniqueness is to what you would say to them?
What I'd say to them is, continue the quest of looking for your, you know, what that passion is or what that discovery is for you. Sometimes it takes a while for the answers to come.
Sure.
Sometimes it is the words of somebody else that give you the answer. Because others are looking at you. And the other thing I will say to people is be comfortable changing sort of your identity, or, you know, just because you feel like, with me, it has stayed as a constant. And which is why now, looking back from this vantage point, I'm looking back and saying that, you know, this has been an identity that has driven me. But in between, I did human resource management and I loved it, right? I mean, the times that I was. So be ready to experiment, and life may take you somewhere else, which might be more of a passion for you, you know? But at the same time, come back to the core. If what you've done, and so that was my other pivotal point, what I told you about what has driven. So of course, you know, I became a head of HR at a very young age. In a BPO space, which was all, you know, new industry. All that. So the path was very clear that you continue going up that from a career perspective. But somewhere I felt that while I really enjoy, and I have a lot of admiration for my colleagues who continue to run HR, right? And it's a, it's not an easy job. Balancing that. But I felt the part that I loved the most was the organization development. Development. And so that meant, whatever, taking a different step and a different path. And so that's the other thing I would say to young people is that, it's okay, you know, if it means that in your mind you're thinking I'm taking a step back, but it'll take you to where you want to go. So be ready to sort of experiment and, you know, go back and forth a little bit, because we have only one life to live. I mean, and we're living it for ourselves, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's very powerful, what you're just saying. Also, choosing and staying with your passion, finding that and working with that. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Pradnya, before we close out this conversation? Anything else that you'd like to say?
I would say, you know, just follow your passion, I would say. And if you don't know what that passion is, be patient with yourself. So I think passion and patience is, you can sort of, you know, keep them hand in hand. Might, you know, you might start discovering things for yourself. in life, right? So you're not born knowing what you want to do. So have some patience. But if you're born knowing what you want to do, then pursue that and have the patience to get the results. Because just because you want something doesn't mean that the results are going to come right away, no?
Fantastic.
And value relationships yeah. as much as you can, but also value yourself. Mm-hmm. I think there's again a balance, no? Mm-hmm. I need to value myself and I need to value relationships.
That is beautiful. And on that note, Pradnya, thank you so much for spending this time with me. And I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And this has been a brilliant soul brew. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you, Shiva. It was great.
Thank you. You take care. See you soon. I hope we meet soon as well. Yeah.
Yes. Hope to meet in person. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for your time and attention. And for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.